Welcome to City Valley Church. Our vision is to be a family, loving Jesus, growing together and reaching Yorkshire and the nations. We hope you are encouraged and hear Jesus speak to you as you listen to this recording.
Don't really need to say much after all the songs we've sung this morning, but I've kind of been asked to prepare, so I'll bring something then. Hopefully the Spirit will bless us even more than he has already. Praise God. So we're starting a series this morning that will run towards Christmas, just on fundamentals of what is this life? What is this life following Jesus? What does he want for us? What does he want to build into it, build into our lives? What does he want us to really go for? And so there'll be various things that we'll talk about that we'll then be able to receive them ourselves, we'll be able to encourage each other, and particularly, so we're talking about Alpha, we're talking about people who have not known Jesus, not known his salvation very long, or maybe people that are just going to come into the kingdom this term now, and actually we'll be ready to help them as kind of disciples starting off in Jesus to receive everything that he wants for them in their lives and grow like that. I've heard this picture a few times recently in Christ Central Church's context, if you can put that first slide up, which is already there. It's been about the story of Joseph in the Bible, and how at one point he knows there's going to be a famine in Egypt and the surrounding countries, and he stores up loads of grain, and then that grain is then able to feed the people in Egypt and other people coming from round about. And people have spoken about this being about, actually, in our country at the moment, we are coming into, or we're finding that we're already in, a time where there is just more spiritual hunger. There is a realization that this is not it. The way the world has told us things are is not it. And there's a hunger. And so there are more people. People are just finding more, different churches are finding more people just wandering in off the streets. People are being saved, getting to know him. And this is happening. And so we need to be ready with the things like we're going to talk about in this series to help those people, to help them just start to enjoy, become really part of the body of Christ and growing all the life he wants for them. And we're starting this by talking about grace today, which we've just been singing about for half an hour. So this is, yeah, so we're all familiar with what we're doing, which is going to be great. So yeah, we all need grace from each other at some point. Don't we? Oh, good. We all got the chuckles going on. If you could put the next slide up, please, Josh. This is a reason why I have needed grace towards me. So, I don't. What can you spot the problem? Right, this was a pristine carpet. We decorated our bedroom, pristine carpet. This is a scale bar here. That's a lip balm. I don't know if you can see a different colour in the middle. But I brought a toolbox from, we painted all the walls, beautiful new carpets. I brought my toolbox to come and do some work in the room. My toolbox had been sitting in a small puddle of bright blue paint. I didn't realise. So I'm going to do this job. I kind of walked up, put it on the carpet, started getting stuff out. I was like, that's not right. Okay, big problem. So I have needed grace towards me. And having brought this memory back up again, I will need another repeat of grace towards me. I did warn Joy this was coming. But grace is where, it's where someone does something good for you without you deserving it. That's grace, isn't it? Someone does something good for you without you deserving it. But we usually think of it as stronger than that, and we think of it as where someone does something for you, someone does something good for you, when you really did something to deserve the opposite, and then they do something good for you. That's grace. It's strong, isn't it? So, if you could blank that slide for me, please, Josh. And if I could have three assistants, please. They know who they are. Right, we are going to read our Bible passage from this morning. For this morning, you can stand in the middle, Izzy. You can go over that side, Noah. Great. So, we're in Luke chapter 18. Okay.
To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable.
Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. A Pharisee stood by himself and prayed.
God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get.
But the tax collector stood at a distance. He wouldn't even look up at heaven, but beat his chest and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all those who humble themselves will be exalted.
Great, thank you very much. We're going to do it again, so we know the story. Josh, you can put the words up alongside this time as well, for those that helps with reading, okay? So we're going to get into what Jesus is saying here. Stand a bit further forward and I'll go behind you. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable.
Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed.
God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get.
But the tax collector stood at a distance. He wouldn't even look up at heaven, but beat his chest and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all those who humble themselves will be exalted.
Thank you very much, guys. Okay. That is the word of God and is a parable that Jesus told. Okay, so, can you remember, basically, what did Jesus say was the most important thing that was going on? What was the most important matter for those two men? What was the most important question? I'm using two mics now, that's weird. What was the most important question for those two men? What needed to be answered? Can you remember? Let's put up verses 13 and 14 again, if we can. Okay, the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. So what does Jesus say is the most important thing that these two men need to be concerned about?
Humbling himself.
Yeah.
Needing God's mercy.
Yes, needing God's mercy. It's whether they are justified before God. That is the question. That is everything. Okay. Does these two people, he thinks he's righteous, he says, no, I'm a sinner. Who is going to be justified before God? Jesus says, that is the question. Justified before God. Created everything. These two men are going to be judged. Everyone's going to be judged. Who is justified? Justified is an unusual word outside of the Bible with this sense to it. It means to be made righteous, or for God to declare that you are righteous before him. First, Jesus is giving this parable, the Bible tells us, Luke tells us, Jesus gives this parable as a warning to people confident of their own righteousness, like the Pharisee. What was his approach to being justified? Put verse 11 back up, please, on the projector. What's his approach to being justified? Well, he justifies himself, doesn't he? That's his approach. And there's two ways that I think he goes about this. Can you spot what they are? What are the two general ways that he goes about trying to justify himself? How would you put it? Compares himself to other people. Yeah, I am better than that person. They are worse than me. That justifies me, is how he puts it, basically.
I obey the law.
By obeying the law, yeah. He's saying, I've done these
good things. So, if you put up the next verse as well. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. Thank you for remembering that, even though we didn't put it on the slide. He says, I've got these points. I am righteous. He's not asking any questions. I am righteous. But what does Jesus say about that approach? He says, that man who justified himself is not righteous. He compared himself to others. He compares others to himself. He says, I've got these points. He is not justified before God. I remember another way we can do this. I remember Matt speaking a few months ago and bringing up this idea of the inner lawyer, where we said, oh, it's okay that I did that because there were these things going on. There were these circumstances. This justifying of ourselves, this man is not justified before God. And the other thing we do, what I did, if you put the picture of the spot back up, I got my cloth, I got my washing up liquids. I was like, okay, right, I need to sort this out. This is really bad. I'm kind of going to try and sort this out. I'll do a bit of research. Okay, that's not working very well. Do I need to leave it a bit? I'm going to try some Vanish. I'm like, what can I do? I'll do everything I get on that. In the end, there's another idea that if you let it dry, you can then use a spoon. So I'm down on the floor. I let it dry a bit. I'm trying to dig into these bits of paint. Will that work it out of those fibres? That's the result. Okay, we are not justified by God in those ways. We can try and work it out. We can do all of those different things about what we have done. Not justified before God. But the tax collector is justified by God, which means to be made righteous before God. Okay? So what is that righteousness that the tax collector has now got? What is that righteousness? Okay, so there's an instinctive meaning of righteousness. It just means really good, doesn't it? So how about, does that mean then, Jesus is saying, I tell you, this tax collector, having prayed that prayer, this tax collector was now living a perfect life before God. Is that the righteousness that he had? He's now living a perfect life before God. Amazing. No. Or now, having had this little event, the life the tax collector lived was now good enough to meet God's standards. That's not what Jesus is saying righteousness means, is it? So he's saying that the tax collector is forgiven, that he's able to come before God. Tax collector is now able to come before God and be welcomed by God. That tax collector, who was so aware of everything like that, he was able to come and be accepted by God, not judged for his sins against God and cast out. The tax collector now, this righteousness is that the tax collector fits in. He comes to God and he finds that he fits in with God. He's got a seal on him. He's got a seal on him that says he fits in God's kingdom. I'm sure many of us can imagine like heading towards going into a room. There's lots of people in there and we're feeling like we're not going to fit in that room. The people are not going to be interested in us. They're not going to be interested in what we have to say. We're going to be exposed as something we're trying to present and we're not. In my work, I sometimes get this when I'm in a group of other scientists, particularly if they're experts in different fields that I don't know much about. And you can really feel, I'm not going to be very interesting here. I'm not going to fit in. I'm just going to keep myself to myself. It won't feel very good. This gift of righteousness, it's being able to come before God, into God's presence, and that would be the ultimate imposter syndrome, surely. Coming into God's presence. But you don't feel that. You're not judged. There's no condemnation. You just feel free. You feel joy in his presence because he says, now you belong here with me. So we can remember things like this tax collector does. All of us here can, we know things we've done or not done, or things we've thought. I know the ways that I've hurt people. I know the ways I've let people down. I know ways I've been just really dishonest in the past. And there are particular things that will come back to mind. And I can't undo those. And all I can say is, have mercy, God. I can't undo those. I can't scrub it away. I can't justify myself. And so this is the grace. This is the grace. We're talking about the gift of righteousness. There is a way from that place where we realize that is the state we've got ourselves into before God. And he says, I want to give you the gift of being welcome, of being accepted, of coming in, of knowing you fit in. And this is why we've sung so powerfully. It's all about Jesus Christ, who gave this story to us that we've just read, for us to understand. It's all about Jesus Christ that God sent to take all the consequences that we should have had. We wouldn't be cast out from God, because we can turn to him, make him the Lord of our life, and we receive forgiveness, receive grace, receive his power at work in our lives to help us. This is when we receive righteousness, when we are accepted the gift of righteousness before God through Jesus Christ, his Son, who was sent to us so we could put our faith in him, and we would be saved like that. So I just want to pause, particularly if there's, let's just know that we're before him now. We're before our Father. We're in the presence of Jesus by his Holy Spirit. And particularly if that's resonating with you as someone who has been following Jesus for a while, you can receive that. But particularly if you've not come to him before for the first time, and said, or you know, there's just so far for you to go in saying this to God. Actually, I do need to be forgiven by you. I do. Lord Jesus Christ, you have come to save us, and I make you the Lord of my life. I need to be accepted by God. God, I need to be accepted by you. I need to be accepted by you. I need to be with you. And God talks about eternal life for us to enter into. I need that. And just keep receiving that as we carry on talking now. Yeah, to really solidify ourselves for this now, we're just going to read a verse together and just let this sink into our hearts a couple of times. So Josh, could you put the Philippians verse up for us, please? Great, okay. So we're just going to read this together. So the righteousness is coming before God and fitting in, being accepted, being forgiven, having no reason that he would cast us out, no reason for condemnation. And if righteousness came from the law, it would be by being able to justify ourselves, basically, to do the things that would earn that for us, which we can't. So let's read this together, because this is a really, really good statement that Paul wrote. It's in Philippians. It's just, yeah, so helpful to come back to and remind yourself, I have this righteousness from God because I trust in Jesus. So let's read it together. I do not have a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. Okay, so this is where you are, trusting in God, trusting in Jesus. Let's read it one more time. I do not have a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. Wonderful. So God wants that. He wants fullness of life, eternal life, freedom and joy for us. And we have to keep knowing this. We have to keep coming back to this. If he wants joy for us, then we have to know that we've got his love, we've got his righteousness first. We have to keep coming back to this. And we have to be ready to share it as well. So let's do all we can to take this in. Okay, so last main thing to say, if you have been, you've put your faith in Jesus, you've been on a journey living before him, you've been his disciple for a while, his grace to you did not stop during that time, it has not stopped, and it will not stop. Okay? So, if this is you, if you're an onlooker now, you're hearing me talk to other people in the room, but if this is you, you decided, also if you're an onlooker, you can know this is you in the future if you put your faith in Jesus. You decided that Jesus would be the Lord of your life at some point. You received his forgiveness for things you had done, but later you then did something and you look back and go, oh God, I said I was yours. I said I was your follower. And I did that. And you think, okay, so can you really use me now? Can I really have all of these blessings that you promised to your people? Am I really part of that still? Can I really be? But you've got a mission for salvation, for your glory to cover the earth, for people to know you everywhere, people to know you in my town. Can I really be part of that? Can I be filled with your Holy Spirit? I asked Jesus to forgive me and fill me with his life for the first time when I was 7 years old. So a lot of the things I have done have been since that time, things that I need forgiving for. Things I can remember, things that come back to my mind. I'd received forgiveness. I would profess that Jesus is Lord and that I followed him to people. I was baptized. As it says in the Bible, my temple had become, my body had become a temple of the Holy Spirit, and I represented him in the world. And I wounded people. I've wounded people in my past. I can remember times as a kind of as a parent looking back with my children. Is that really how I should have acted with my children? And there's so many things over that time. Some things just on my own that other people wouldn't know about within me. But listen, I think this is just so we need to carry on knowing the grace of God and the power of God to redeem, to continue to bless us, to continue to fulfill his promises. When he brought you out of darkness into the kingdom of light, he knew full well that you were not the finished work. Now, with the tax collector, we're not saying he then lived a life that was perfect before God. He knew that you were not the finished work when you made that decision to follow him. He knew that you were not good enough if it was going to be decided on your own goodness. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were enemies of God, he sent his son, gave his son for us, the righteous for the unrighteous, so that we would be brought to God. His steadfast love endures forever. His mercies are new every morning. How quickly can you get another Bible passage up for us, projector team? What do you reckon? No, I'll just read it. I meant to give them this one, but I forgot this one. Okay. So we're in good company. We're in good company if this is where we are. Like, I can't believe, Jesus, I've represented you in the world. I've done these things. How am I still going to kind of
keep receiving this grace, keep receiving this life from us. So this is John writing. This is the book of 1 John, chapter 1 from verse 8. He's writing to people he calls dear children, dear friends. These are people in the family of God. These are followers of Jesus, beloved family members in the family of God, and this is what he writes to them. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So he's writing that to these kind of firm followers of Jesus that he's encouraging. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. This is what he's writing to believers. Paul tells the church in Rome to be transformed. Why they need to be transformed? Because they've not been transformed yet. Be transformed. Let's talk about some specifics. So all of the writers in the New Testament knew that we're in this position. Okay? In 1 Corinthians. And these are the kind of things we can be remembering. Like, can God still bless me? Will God still do all of these things for me? Okay, Paul talks to the believers in Corinthians. He says, you cheat. You do wrong. And you do this to your brothers and sisters. So kind of this is going on. Kind of the people who write these books know this. He says, flee from sexual immorality. Why is he saying that to these people? Because he knows that they need to hear it. Because he knows that things are going on. And so when Peter writes to husbands and wives, he says, love and respect each other. Why does he say that? Because actually, there's a lot of brokenness in the world, isn't there? So much brokenness where this is not happening. Husbands and wives are not loving and respecting each other. And Peter knows, kind of, they need to hear it. This is probably happening. They need to hear it. Okay, so these are written to people like us, right? And we're never saying, like, I can do what I want and Jesus will forgive me, because that's just not saying Jesus is Lord. And then we're saying it doesn't matter about obeying God. That's a dangerous place to be, and we're still under judgment in there. So we're not saying that. But these things that the Bible knows about, these are problems. But we come repentant. We come saying, yes, Lord, I want to be transformed. And he says, this gift of righteousness is not taken away from you. So to the same people, could you put the Corinthians passage up? So to the same people that Paul is saying, I know you're doing this. There's cheating. There's doing wrong. You need to flee from sexual immorality. Okay? He's saying, no, you keep going, because God has these good things for you. You're going to receive it. You can keep going, Lord. So he says, therefore, you do not, so these same people, he says, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end. Okay, so if you remember stuff and you're thinking, I did that, I don't think Jesus can use me anymore, I don't think I can be filled with the Holy Spirit and go forward in his plan, he will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. And I'm just going to read one more thing Peter said. So they write these exhortations to people. Please live Jesus' way. Listen to him. He is Lord. Be transformed. Because you need to hear this. You need to be transformed. And he says, as you're going through this life, as you're going through this being transformed, you are going to this place, towards this place, where the proven genuineness of your faith will result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. And that is what you are journeying towards. Okay, whatever is past,
the call is be transformed. You've not lost it. You've not lost it. Be transformed. Keep coming to me. The proven, in the end, as you continue this life, you'll keep receiving righteousness, and the proven genuineness of your faith in the end will result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. That is the future. Whatever it feels like is that weight on you, thinking, I'm just going to be like dragging this, limping with God forever. He says, no. Be transformed. Be filled with my Holy Spirit. Degree by degree, by degree, I've left those things behind that I've talked about in the past. Now, I'm not perfect. I'm still working on the impatience, but I've left a lot of it behind. But God is transforming me. He transforms us from one degree of glory to another. He does, and in the end, the proven genuineness of your faith is what will be seen. It will result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. So let's go. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. Let's leave it behind. It's not a weight on you. It's not a weight on you. You have righteousness. You have acceptance into God's presence, into God's blessings, into his glory, into his people. You are welcome. You are accepted. You fit in. You are commissioned. You are sent. You have work to do in the world. Whatever is past, this is your place. So there were two questions to be settled on ourselves and to help other people with. How can I come to God in the first place? How can I be welcomed and accepted and released from judgment after the things I have done and not done and thought in my heart? And the answer is Jesus has come to give you the gift of righteousness before God. And the other question was, how can I really live for God and remain in his plans when I've done these things, even when I've called myself a follower of Jesus? And for us to know and to be able to pass on to others, because he says that he calls you back again. He keeps calling you to be forgiven, to know that love and acceptance, to be filled with his Holy Spirit. He will transform you. He will lead you on as you keep looking to him as Lord. So let's be ready to share that. Let's keep demonstrating it by how we treat people as well. God has gloriously chosen not to treat us as we deserve, but to lavish love on us, to forgive us, and to release us from chains, as we spoke about earlier. So thank you, Lord.
Thank you for listening. We pray you have been blessed by this talk today. If you would like to know more about our church, where we meet, or would like to speak with someone from City Valley, please visit our website at cityvalley.org.